Okay.
All right?
All right.
Okay, I'm Jerry Kolke, and this is May 1st, Clark County Noxious Weed Control Board meeting. And first order of business, I guess we'll have roll call. I see we have a cordon.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Bill.
Randy, Lee, and Bill, myself for the board.
Lisa's on.
And Lisa's online. And we have a guest here.
Yeah, you want me to introduce myself?
Yes.
Okay, my name is Rennie Kubik, K-U-B-I-K. And I'm an agronomist and a soil scientist. And I'm currently on the Clark County Mosquito Board because I was a manufacturer rep for over 40 years and semi-retired. I currently work for a company called Pest Stop, which does pest control. I'm their technical service director. And I'm also vice president of the Oregon Pest Control Association.
Thank you.
And I know a lot about weeds, and at one time I knew all the scientific names and the seeds and everything.
What was your name again?
Rennie Kubik, and you and I have met, Bill. I've been to your farm many times.
Really?
Yep.
Sorry, Rennie, I'm trying to think when. Okay, yeah. Good, all right.
We bought vegetables there.
Oh, okay,
yep.
Okay, all right.
Yep.
Well, good.
And I'll let you two introduce yourselves.
I'm Daniel Miles. I'm one of the field inspectors.
Okay.
I'm Stephen Seiler. I'm a temporary worker and field inspector.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. This gentleman that just came in.
Hi, I'm Rob Lowe. I'm the face of weeds. I'm Rockies.
Yeah, Rockies. Yeah.
Okay. And Justin and Chris.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah. Chris, thanks for the phone call.
Yeah.
So we have a quorum, and the first order of business be the approval of the minutes from February 6th meeting that are attached or. Get a chance to check them over. If we have a motion for approval or corrections, additions.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we accept the minutes as presented, or as presented today.
Okay.
Unless there is somebody that has an objection or a change.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to adopt the minutes as presented. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same. Thank you, Lisa. Okay, minutes have been approved. Elect officers.
Yeah, so I'll put in a quick word here. By our bylaws, the Weed Board bylaws, and also by Clark County Code, we elected the other positions at our last meeting, but we didn't actually elect the secretary. And we all kind of understand that Chris does everything.
Yeah.
But the bylaws and the county code actually state that the board will elect from its membership. So what's odd is technically it's got to be one of you five. So moving forward, I would just propose that we complete the motion and elect a secretary maybe, and that way we comply with what our bylaws and the code says, and then kind of de facto, Chris can continue doing her job, and maybe the person who's elected as a secretary can have that title and name only. I don't know. That would be my suggestion.
Okay, mm-hmm. we can do that.
Sure.
A
proposal would be is you could modify your bylaws to remove that position of office if that's not being something used any longer.
Do we have to modify the bylaws at a certain time and notify the public or anything, Rocky? Do you, or can we just at this time modify our bylaws?
I would recommend that you would work on them and then bring them back to another meeting. Yeah. That way yeah. that they are out there yeah. for review. But
right.
I don't believe that we have to go to a formal public comment period.
Okay. No.
Yeah, we can modify the bylaws at any of our meetings, but then, yeah, it comes into effect at the next meeting. I think the bigger issue that Kevin and I were talking about is the county code.
Right.
So to modify the county code is a little bit of a... It is. Yeah, it's in county code.
I apologize. I retract my statement.
I can. So for the short term, you know, my suggestion is we.
I can solve the problem. I nominate Lisa as being secretary.
Okay.
Is there a second?
Second.
Yep.
Did you hear that, Lisa?
I heard it.
You were just nominated.
Yeah. She said, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. We have a motion and a second.
It's a title only.
Yeah. Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any other nominations? Okay. We'll close those. And all in favor of Lisa being secretary of the Noxious Weed Board, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, same. Congratulations, Lisa. That was a little weak, but
yeah. Yeah, don't sound so enthusiastic.
Okay.
All right.
So then I can go into some updates for you guys. I didn't put on the agenda, but I figure I'll mention as well that I'm watching for the first tansy to really start poking up and getting tall when it starts to bolt, and just before it flowers, we'll be putting out the tansy road signs that say control tansy ragwort. As always, I think that we do have enough of those as I was looking at our stocks, but if we continue to experience the same attrition that we have, we'll probably want to replenish that. If not next year, then the year after that. But I would imagine maybe even for next year, since we'll be putting out most, if not all, of the signs, we won't have much in reserve to replace them. So just thought I'd mention that pretty quick. It has been a pretty slow year so far, since the spring has been so cold in most part. I mean, we got a couple of hot days, but it's been mostly cold. So we noticed there's been a lot of stunting on tansy and a lot of our annual weeds. I had bitter cress at my house, you know, that I finally was able to actually do something about since mm-hmm. it was so delayed. You know, everybody calls that one shot weed because it explodes really, really early in the spring. So I got to it before it exploded, so. But in general, everything's delayed, except for, I would say, poison hemlock is not too delayed. It's a little delayed.
A little delayed,
but yeah. Not as much as everything else. So, tansy I expect will be just a little bit behind where it usually is at this time of the year. Although, if we keep getting hot days, it'll make up for it and probably won't even notice a difference. You have in front of you, and apologize, Lisa, because I didn't share my screen with this one, but maybe I can just hold it up to the monitor for a second here. We have a strange flyer that has appeared to just a few landowners It has one side that talks about English ivy and the other side that's talking about blackberry, Himalayan blackberry. And what's odd about this flyer is, it says right at the top, invasive species are controlled by Clark County. It's got our phone number and it's got our email address. We didn't make this.
Really?
We didn't distribute this. This is someone's
doing good work.
Yeah. Acting on their own.
Holy
yeah,
crap.
To do this. Which, you know, this this information that makes up the body of the flyer is pretty much all good information taken pretty much verbatim from the state noxious weed website. So not a lot to find fault with. But the language at the top, making it look like it's coming from us, saying invasive species are controlled by Clark County, and then listing two that are not designated for control, that we don't require landowners to control, and also that we won't control for landowners, which is what the gentleman who called in, who received this flyer, thought.
Sure, Legion believe it would be.
Sure. Right. Wow. Yeah, so the impression given is quite different from the facts.
Yes.
And then I would also just draw your attention to the bottom of the Himalayan blackberry side, where it says herbicides are the best for eradicating this invasive species, which language does not come from the state website, is interesting to then say Clark County Weed Board at the top, and then at the bottom they're kind of editorializing about which control measures are recommended. So this was concerning for those reasons, because it seems to come from us, but it does not. It's not something we did. I wouldn't have a problem with people spreading good information. This is all good information. But, you know, for instance, at the bottom of the Himalayan blackberry, it says, please visit, and then it lists the state website where they took all this information from. That's great. If they wanted to say the same thing for our outfit, and it says, for more information, here's Clark County's phone number, Clark County Weed Board's email address, and put it at the bottom, I would have no problem with that. You know, here's people to go talk to. But since it's at the top and it says invasive species are controlled by Clark County, this was something that caught my attention, and it definitely led somebody astray in Camas. So it's not widespread.
That was my question. Where was it distributed at?
Yeah, there's one neighborhood in Camas for all we can discern. Most of the time, the people throw away the envelope. And in this case, the gentleman saved this flyer, but he threw away the envelope again. So we've had a total of 3 reports now, 2 last year, and then this one this year. But we don't know where it's coming from, but it seems to be just Camas, just one neighborhood. So
how was it distributed?
In the mailbox, but we don't know if it was mailed or if it was just dropped in a mailbox.
With a stamp on it, or you don't know?
We don't know, with no envelope.
Away, yeah. And so he doesn't remember, he just sent the flyer.
Could somebody canvass the neighborhood and see if they had gotten one of them?
We can.
A little investigation.
The first investigation we've done so far is to reach out to all of the entities who might have good reason to do something mm-hmm. like this. But all of our contacts with volunteer groups, the city of Camas, Clark Public Utilities, et cetera, they all have denied doing this. So
and
it's one of those where we're looking
into. We heard from somebody last year that received the same
information. Two residents last year, but both of them threw it away, the whole thing.
So Justin, this means I have a couple canes
in my yard. You're
going to come out?
Purportedly, yeah.
Apparently, we will.
No, we'll come out and you'll find you, Rocky. We won't bother you.
Oh, never mind. I don't have any canes in my yard.
So you don't have any idea how many went out?
No. At this point, we don't know how many went out. Yeah.
Well, last year, you think two?
Well, that's who we heard
that's
from.
That's who we heard from. Yeah, it's hard to say. It seems like it's, you know, we even reached out to the neighborhood association. It's lack of scores. Mm. This particular person backs up to Heritage Trail, so.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody has seen this. Mm. At least they said they have not seen this. So.
My assumption would be if we did canvass the neighborhood, then we probably would find the person who actually did this. We'd probably knock on their door and say, have you seen this flyer? And then their response would either be, I made it, or I don't know what you're talking about. And then, you know, we'd not know. But I'm assuming it is a neighbor at this point.
Well, it could be that instead of doing the entire neighborhood, they might have taken this and just dropped it in wherever they saw, you know, infestations. So, yeah, it might not be everybody in the same area.
Right.
Yeah.
Which we're happy to send that information. If a neighbor calls and talks about blackberry or anything that's not designated that's on the weed list, mm-hmm. we can send information. We're happy to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
We got an issue with the microphone. And Lisa just chatted that the sound turned off.
That's weird.
Yeah. Testing. There it goes.
Yeah, I can hear you again.
There we go. That sounds better.
We can hear you.
Thank you.
I'm not sure why I decided to change the settings mid-meeting, but whatever.
Reduce background.
Okay.
Keep us on our toes.
Remove the focus.
Anyway, sorry, so you're going to do a little research, maybe,
Joe,
and if nothing else, get our name off the top and
right.
put a link on the deck or something below.
Fairground.
Okay. Yeah, if we can,
yeah. Perfect.
Yeah, if we can determine who's doing it, then
right.
we'll just kind of guide them to
and you are?
Do it in a way that doesn't
change the flyer a little bit.
Yeah.
So the phone number at the top, is that a direct line to the weed board?
Yeah, that's our office. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, yeah. Plug it in, but then at the same time, I'm here. So we're going,
Okay. We'll wait for more information on that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Drumming up business.
And then the next
drumming up business.
Yeah.
Sure is. Then the next thing I wanted to touch on is just that we were at the Home and Garden Idea Fair over the weekend.
Were you killing any blackberries there?
Yourself.
And the ivy. No.
That's where you get your starts.
Yeah. Come to my place, you can have plenty.
Yeah.
But we were very busy. I had over 100 people stop by in my little 3 or 4 hour shift. And we had much more than that on Sunday morning. So, I think it was 167, was it?
Yeah, that was about the number.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Quite a few people coming by.
Yeah. It's consistently busy. We can at least account for the mornings. I'm not sure, I haven't heard yet about anybody who works the evening shift. Sometimes it slows down quite a bit, drops off as the day goes on. But we did have a lot of really good conversations with people, passed out a lot of our literature, especially gardeners want to know what to replace noxious weeds with, and I had a lot of good conversations about butterfly bush, and what do we expect people to do about butterfly bush, so being able to explain, you know, exactly what we're after there to have it be controlled was really good. And I appreciated having the specific language in our weed listing, so it's nice. Overall, I think our general consensus from everybody who works both events is that the Home and Garden Idea Fair is very specific. You get people who are looking for information about their garden or their backyard or their property. So you have a lot more pertinent conversations about weeds specifically. And the fair, the Clark County Fair, is still worthwhile because you reach lots of people, but maybe we're having different kinds of conversations along with the conversations about the weeds that they want advice on. So yeah, Home and Garden Idea Fair was very, very worthwhile. Great outreach happening there. And then I wanted to touch on what's been happening in the latest updates on variable leaf milfoil, because more things have been happening there. I've identified six parcels in addition to the Warren Seeley Reservoir, where it was first discovered, that have the purebred variable leaf milfoil. And what that means is that with Warren Seeley being our primary focus, after that we still have these other six. We've been able to put the RFP in front of contractors and get responses from them, and today is actually when the extended period of response closes, so we'll be able to move forward having all of the submitted information back from the contractors and be able to start our process to select one. Probably won't be too hard to do that. And we've also submitted the application for aquatic herbicide with the Department of Ecology, which was a little bit of a change up. We were going to put the requirement onto the selected contractor until we learned that if the contractor wants to go and apply for the permit from Department of Ecology to apply aquatic herbicide, that they're going to start that whenever they get the contract, probably. But it takes a significant time to get that permit all the way done. So when we learned that Clark County could apply for that and then pass along the privilege to apply herbicide in the water to the contractor on our behalf, that's when we said, okay, well, we'll start that process now and put all that paperwork in so that we can get through the public noticing requirements, because we have to publish twice in a newspaper of common circulation, 1 week apart. And then after that, there's the 30-day public comment period, and only after the public comments have been recorded can potentially the permit be issued. So the soonest that we could actually have somebody apply herbicides, if everything goes perfectly as fast as possible, would be June 12th. So that's a good thing that we started that process ourselves and did it as quick as possible.
Just a question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you go with a reward type of product, or do you go with a rodeo type product? What do you use there?
Oh, so the product that we selected for aquatic application is called Procellacor.
I know what it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we selected that one because we're going after variable leaf milfoil, and that's all we're going after. So there's really no reason to have anything that's less selective than Procellacor. And it's got a very favorable profile for the label restrictions. Mm-hmm. It's one of those reduced risk pesticides as certified by the EPA, so it's a solid choice.
Okay.
So the other thing I would mention is that talks are ongoing with Townsend Farms, who has a blueberry grow and operation right there in the base of Farger Lake, and where it used to be mint. And they have water rights to Warren Seeley, so we're continuing to coordinate with them so that treatment of Warren Seeley will be acceptable within the timing restrictions, because one of the only restrictions with Procellacor is crop irrigation. So the timing window can change depending on how much herbicide you're using for your treatment and how much of the water body you're treating.
Is Warren Seeley's, and I apologize for not being, I know where Fargo Lake is and Seeley's and Coonsey's and all that. Is Seeley's upstream or downstream from, it's upstream from Townsend?
Yep, it's upstream. Rock Creek is the system. So Rock Creek goes east from Fargo Lake. If you know about the water ski lake,
yeah, yeah.
It's just east of the Fargo Lake area. Then just east of that water ski lake is Warren Seeley.
Oh, okay.
It's about 13 acres
okay.
in size. And the public is allowed to go onto the property, but there's not, you know, parking as such. So
mm-hmm.
that's one of those where, yeah, we definitely wanted to prioritize that since it was the first known infestation.
So what's the danger to blueberries with Priscillicore? Is it, how it, well, it must be.
No crop tolerance.
Huh?
There's no crop tolerance.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. one of the things with Priscillicore is that the timing windows are there so that you can have the correct limit on the maximum allowable parts per billion in
mm-hmm.
the water. It's possible to have a test be performed to determine that you are lower than the acceptable parts per billion. In the water, but yeah, the timing window's there so that you don't run afoul of injury to
mm-hmm.
the crop.
Well, and of course, Townsend is all drip. So, is there a challenge? You know, it's no overhead irrigation. So, would there be a problem with Priscillicore on blueberries? How is it? I assume the Priscillicore is a contact herbicide. Or is it absorbed through the roots?
It's actually exceptionally good at entering into the milfoil. So it's going straight where it needs to go, and it is translocated to all of the growing nodes
mm-hmm.
in the milfoil. So it's not classified as a contact
no.
herbicide
mm-hmm.
as such. It's actually really good at, they call it seeking the milfoil. So
mm.
yeah. When it's applied at, you know, parts per billion, it can still concentrate into the plants.
Through the roots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought I seen some overhead irrigation there.
Oh, really? Oh, my understanding
was... I know it's got some drip lines there.
Yeah, yeah.
But
they may have it for frost protection. They may have it for frost protection. I don't think they use it normally, but anyhow,
oh,
yeah.
It could be. Like you said, they've got
yeah
70% of it torn up.
Mm. Yeah, oh, is that right?
Yeah, they ripped everything out and
oh, really?
Ground
really?
It up. And
really? How?
New plantings and stuff.
I think it's starting over, whether it's different species
new.
Or what, I don't know.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, and you
varieties.
You end up with...
Varieties.
Huh?
Different varieties.
Right, you end up with varieties that the processor will no longer take or accept
mm.
in one thing or another, so they're having to switch over to a new variety, yeah, which, gosh, that's, you know... That's 5 years and stuff, so, yeah, wow.
He's got a bunch of little plants starting.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. That one new field looks like it's got PVC overhead stuff.
Mm. Yeah.
On the west
yeah.
side of the
that's
road.
Well, maybe that's the deal, yeah.
Yeah, might be, but then
it's
some
cooling.
Of it looks like it's drip
it's
irrigation
cool.
at the
yeah.
root. So, a little
mm-hmm.
of both, maybe.
Yeah, and my contact at Townsend Farms is Deke Gunderson. He's very knowledgeable, and he already had the table of timing windows for Priscillicore. So
cool.
He's keeping in contact, so
good.
It's a good work. We'll keep
mm-hmm.
the conversation open there.
And that water system is considered Rock Creek there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so Warren Seeley empties out into Rock Creek, and Rock Creek empties out into the East Fork of the Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And so we estimate that with six treatments that are very, very likely to happen, and then Warren Seeley, which still seems like it could happen potentially, but need to work out the timing with Townsend Farms, because it sounds like they irrigate for a long portion, all the way from June to September, is what he was saying. That's, you know, going to be the same timing as we could do any sort of treatment, as far as I know.
Blueberries really like the water, I think.
Yeah. They don't like wet feet, but they want to be moist, yeah. Yeah.
Who's going to do the monitoring?
The monitoring of the treatments?
Parts per million, billion.
So I think with the timing window, you don't actually have to do the molecular testing, but it is possible to also do that. I hadn't actually had a plan to test the water in that way, because with Procellacor, there's actually a lot of limitation baked into the herbicide label itself, where they have it very different than a lot of herbicide labels. If you're used to reading herbicide labels, it looks totally different. Mm. So there's orders of magnitude, you know, thousands versus hundreds. So it's a lot different. Yeah. So variable leaf milfoil, as we get more traction there and more things happen, I'd be happy to send out more updates to you guys. Maybe emails would work fine for that. And then at the bottom, I'll just make a correction. The next scheduled board meeting is not November 6th, it's actually August 7th. And I'll definitely have an update for you on variable leaf milfoil at the August 7th meeting. That's all I had for my planned updates, other than to just make a general mention that our staff is doing a great job at keeping track of our Class A noxious weeds and the poison hemlock and all the various things that we've historically gone after. I'm very pleased with the relative level of service that we're able to complete with just a few people. We have our second field inspector, John Wilson, is going to return this week on Wednesday. But so far, it's just been Daniel and Stefan as doing the field inspection part of it, and they've been doing a very good job with getting good coverage of the county, trying to spread out and get all to all the garlic mustard especially. And we've already been in contact with the slendiflower thistle properties, and it's been pretty stunted. It's been delayed a lot. So the field season is going well. We've found a lot of benefit of the reminder letters that we've mailed out. We've had a lot of contact from people early on, which I feel like is going to be an improvement as far as Chris's time in the office, trying to spread out the volume of calls so it's not just June and July as this enormous peak that she can't get off the phone for a minute. We talk to the people in April, then that, like I say, spreads out her workload. And we get people scheduling contractors to come spray lots earlier in the season, which is what I'm always telling people after the fact. You know, you really should have been looking at this in the spring. So now we're finally having those conversations in the spring. So it's a big improvement as far as I can see so far. And I'll pass it back to you, Jerry. That's all
right.
I wanted to say.
Do we have any discussion from the board? Any action?
I was wondering those, you know, in years past, we've had a couple of people you ended up having to write letters to, and I don't know if we even took them to court on stuff or what. Mm-hmm. Do you see this year having some you may end up having trouble challenges with? I suppose it's every year.
Yeah, every year there's a short list of properties that look really bad, and there are the worst when it comes to letting things go to seed when they need to be controlled or eradicated. And I imagine that this year will be no different, but I have been pleased with the return on the reminder letters from some of the people who have received fines last year or the year before. They're talking to us early. It seems like that's really working well when they see our letterhead at the top and they're getting in touch with us early. I definitely appreciate that. But I imagine that, yeah, once again, we're going to have some of the same problems that we've had before. Sometimes it's hard to get a lot of movement from entities like the city of Camas, where again, you know, that doesn't seem promising at this point. Once again, it seems like it could be things go into seed before there's a little bit of effort. I've had some meetings already, but it looks potentially troublesome because they are moving slowly to hire contractors, and they estimate that it'll be mid-July, late July. I'm telling them, you know, that's really unfortunate. You know, I say to them, that's really unfortunate because it's not going to work for you. You know, you're not going to...
Well, it's not going to work for us. It's not going to work for the community, too. So,
Yeah. And garlic mustard specifically, which is what the chief concern with City of Camas is, it technically doesn't drop its seeds until later in the summer. But realistically, you're not going to be out there with crews pulling all of the garlic mustard and putting it effectively into bags and sealing those bags. That's not a job that anybody can get done. So I don't want to send a fine to somebody who's working on the problem if they're putting in a real effort. But if it's a token effort at the very end of, oh, look, we pulled 10 bags, that just doesn't move the needle. That's not really effective. So, yeah, to answer your question, I think that there are still going to be some private landowners and some entities that have trouble. There's been historically some that we've sent fines to, and then they still have trouble. So I expect it'll be pretty much the same. And I'll have to choose among those who are on the short list multiple years. I look for multiple years of non-compliance, and we've been in contact with them a lot. We've had meetings and worked with them, and then they still don't move on it quickly. And then those are the ones that, yeah, we send fines to.
The warning letters you've been sending out, are they to old infestations, or have you sent some new ones out also?
Yeah, we've tried as best as we can to revisit all of the historical locations where we know that there's a seed bank, and so those weeds are going to come up unless it gets paved over or something. But anytime we see new infestations, we're also sending them the warning letter as well.
And you have done that already this year.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And when somebody knows what the deal is and they've heard from us a bunch of times, then depending on the life stage of the plant, we just send them right to violation. Instead of the warning letter, which gives them 14 days to comply and has a little bit happier language, you know, or emphasis, they get the violation letter, which just says you have 10 days to comply. It has more legal language in it that's a little more threatening, that gets somebody's attention with the fact that, yeah, you're fixing to get a fine. So, if it is a historic site that we've had trouble with before, then yeah, they could just receive the violation letter. But whenever it's a new landowner, or it's a new infestation entirely, then they usually get the warning letter that gives them, you know, the first introduction as gently as possible to try to work with somebody and try to
approach. Yeah, it's a plus.
Yeah, but if the property changes hands and it gets sold, then we kind of start over again and say, okay, this is a new person. You know, they don't know what the program's about, so we got to get them up to speed and don't want to make an enemy if we can make a friend, or at least get a positive working relationship. So.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? Looks like we can continue on. August 7th, you said, is the next meeting, not November 6th, so we got that down. And that'll be here, so nothing else from the board. I'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting.
Well, I've got a couple questions. That's why I'm here.
Okay, we'll unadjourn.
Tree of Heaven. Tell me about that, because I have had to treat three different properties. I do have a license, by the way, landscape license for application and pest control. And there's another one in our neighborhood, and I've talked to that landowner, and they love the tree.
Yep. And I expect that there will be many people who enjoy the shade, maybe even like the foliage. You know, that's some of why it was brought here to begin with. So, Tree of Heaven is not designated for control, okay. And that means that they're under no legal obligation to do anything about it.
Okay.
The state of Washington has a very renewed interest in controlling it and mapping it because of spotted lanternfly. I don't know if you're
I know all about that.
Yeah. And we've talked about that at these meetings previously. But WSDA is currently enlisting the help of counties, and last year we completed grant work for WSDA to map Tree of Heaven throughout Clark County. We made a great little blob of, you know, dots all over the county with our survey efforts. And in the future, WSDA has expressed interest to control it, especially along vectors such as railroad or highways or RV parks or city parks, county parks, wherever there are lots of people potentially bringing outdoor furniture, vehicles, anything that egg masses could hitch a ride on. So train cars look like a very likely introduction source. If you look along Highway 14 and you go that railroad that goes all the way to the east, there's a lot of Tree of Heaven that goes right along that same road. That railroad has a lot of Tree of Heaven.
So, Justin, is that map available to the public that I could look at it?
We can make it available. There's a data set that is ready for sharing that we have provided to WSDA. So, if you want, I don't see a problem with us just putting the link to that data set on our webpage, and then you'd be able to view it same as WSDA.
Okay. The other question I have, and I think I've either talked to you or Rocky, I don't remember who, I've got a neighbor that lets his Canadian thistle just go to seed all the time. Mm-hmm. And I finally got permission last year. I used T-Zone because it was in his yard, which is that's a labeled product for lawns. Mm-hmm. And I treated it, and he was happy with it. So I asked him if he would keep taking care of it, and now he's kind of saying, well, it's not a bad weed. And I'm saying, well, all the neighborhood's getting your seeds all over the place. Mm-hmm. And I, even though I'm five houses away, all of a sudden I had Canadian thistles sprouting up, you know. Mm-hmm. And that seed's the same size as a prickly lettuce or lettuce seed. It's mm-hmm. the same size. I know what the seed looks like, and so I actually showed him some of the seeds, and but he, I don't know, he's a little oblivious, so I don't know what to do.
Yeah, what we usually do in that instance is to send them information about it, and sometimes when they find something in their mailbox that has Clark County Weed Board letterhead on it, then it seems more official and they take it a little more seriously. The only time that we are enforcing control of Canada thistle is when it directly impacts agriculture. Somebody's livelihood is at stake, basically, because now they're going to have to treat more times for a much more persistent weed than they would if somebody just, you know, didn't have it, maybe didn't have that. We get a lot of people calling us saying, my air conditioner coils are all clogged up with all these seeds. And, you know, that's really too bad because then you have to be out there cleaning it a whole bunch. But it's not your livelihood, I guess. So we'd be happy to send them information. Yeah, but as far as enforcing the control of it, it's not something we do on a suburban basis, I would say.
If I could go back to Tree of Heaven, you may remember I mentioned that I questioned that we possibly had one in our berry field and one thing another, and in fact it was. Mm-hmm. And now the crew went through and when they were cutting and tying canes, they dug it out and got rid of it. Now will that sprout from the roots?
Yes.
Okay. If they have missed roots, then it will.
Oh, they. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they missed roots. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How big was the tree?
Oh, probably 10 foot tall.
Oh boy, yeah.
Ooh. Bill, yeah. If you got something that comes up from the roots, what I found, go with some crossbow on it, and that's pretty good, because mm-hmm. When I cut a tree off, you know, I do a straight. Glyphosate treatment on it.
Yeah, baseball treatment there, yeah.
Exactly. And then anything that comes up, usually within a month or so, and I see this all the time, then I go with the crossbow. Mm-hmm. And it seems to work pretty well.
Mm-hmm. I wanted the guys to do that with the Roundup and stuff, and somehow or other, they think they're doing better by digging it out. So, wow. Anyhow, yeah. So, yeah, okay. The other ironic side, you mentioned the railroad, because this Tree of Heaven was no more than 300 feet from the railroad. Yeah, so I don't know if it came in on that or what, but yeah.
That's definitely.
That's the only one I've seen, though.
Yeah, that's definitely a possibility. The seeds from Tree of Heaven are capable of kind of fluttering around. They have a big wing with the seed right in the very middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they're capable of flying and gliding a good distance away from the actual tree, so. Find a lot of it is able to spread vegetatively and by seed, so bad news. Anytime somebody goes to dig something out, you would have to make sure you get the entire root thing, entire thing, so you'll very likely get suckers coming up in, you know, a 10-foot radius from there.
Okay.
So watch for those.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And that's the same thing with Canada thistle too, actually, come to think of it. When I had it come up at my place, I decided to actually excavate, go find all the roots, because I had seedlings, you know. Just one little thing.
Right.
Yeah, I would rather take all of the affected soil out. So yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Sorry to interrupt, but I just
have a couple
questions. So.
No.
Yeah. If you want to send me the neighbor's information, we're happy to send.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll be there.
You've got sorry, no.
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. Is this your email? Good.
Yeah, and I'm gonna I'll give her another card with the email. Right, so yeah.
I want to make sure I can help out it.
Yeah. Thanks, Roger. Yeah.
Okay, so nothing else from the board, and we'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, and we'll continue on our day.
Thanks, Lisa.
Yeah, bye-bye.
You have a meeting with